We like any excuse to play some heavy music. This is The Record on KUOW with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman. In 2012, conservative billionaires Charles and David Koch raised more than $400 million to influence elections across the country. But the identities of most of the funders remain unknown. That's because the Koch brothers put together a complex network of tax-exempt nonprofits that aren't legally bound to campaign finance laws. Matea Gold covers money in politics for the Washington Post. She uncovered this story with the Center for Responsive Politics. They analyzed the Koch brothers' tax returns for the past 2 years, and Gold told me why the Koch brothers helped organize this network of donors in the first place.
There's no question that they are a driving force on the right in raising money and spending money, and they believe strongly in vehicles that allow them to do so without disclosing the identity of the donors. Charles Koch made the point of saying in an interview in 2012 that they've received death threats, that their company websites have been attacked by hackers, and that they believe people should be able to give freely without identifying themselves. Now, people on the other side and critics of spending such as this argue that a lot of this spending is motivated by economic interest, and that corporations and wealthy individuals like the freedom to spend money without being scrutinized.
Was anything about it illegal?
No, not at all, and I think that's a really important point. You know, everything about the way that this network of groups worked, as far as we can tell, is perfectly legal, and that's something that's, I think, really a remarkable development in the campaign finance landscape, that in the wake of federal court decisions, including the Citizens United decision in 2010, we've really seen an explosion of spending outside of the regulated campaign finance system. So more and more we're seeing these nonprofit groups that are putatively social welfare groups, in case of one of these organizations organized as a chamber of commerce, getting involved in campaign-related activity. And because they're not political committees, they don't have to report their expenditures or their fundraising to the Federal Election Commission.
Does this tie directly back to the U.S. Supreme Court Citizen United ruling?
It definitely does, in part because one of the things the Citizens United did was say that corporations, which includes nonprofit corporations, such as the groups in this network, can spend money directly on politics and spend as much as they want. So that freed up, you know, what a lot of people thought we'd see, you know, big Fortune 500 companies inserting themselves in campaigns, and that has not happened. Instead, what we've seen is a lot of anonymous money going to nonprofit groups that then protect their donors and spend money on campaigns.
Is this kind of web limited to conservatives?
Well, we've never found anything even close to the sophistication. There very well could be other organizations that operate in this manner, but you know, numerous legal experts we spoke to said that this is kind of unprecedented in its scale and the complexity. And one thing that's so remarkable is that this network of groups set up kind of affiliate LLCs that were actually the recipient of a lot of the funds, which made it a lot harder to trace the money.
In reading your article, one thing that really struck me about these LLCs was that they seem to change names frequently.
I worked with the Center for Responsive Politics to piece this together. One of the challenges was, as these 990s, these tax returns have kind of dribbled out over the last few years, it's been very hard to piece together the whole picture of this organization, because the trail will run cold, because some group will report giving money to an LLC and you never really can find that LLC again. So that was really a fascinating thing that we were able to piece together, that many of them change names.
I'm speaking with Matea Gold, who covers money and politics for the Washington Post. Well, during the 2012 campaign, this network, whoever started it, raised about $400 million. What did that money get spent on?
A lot of the money was spent on ads in vain against President Obama and congressional Democrats, and also get-out-the-vote operations. Many of these groups have kind of very specific targeted constituencies, such as young people, conservative women, Latinos, and so there was really an effort through this whole network to drive the turnout of conservative members of those demographic groups. And a lot of pretty hard-hitting ads that stopped short of saying vote for or vote against somebody, but made it pretty clear that they thought President Obama and congressional Democrats were not necessarily worthy of your support.
We should point out that the left, liberals, raised a significant amount of money that was spent on the elections as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, this was a $6 billion campaign in 2012, and you look at all of the reported spending. And so, you know, this was a small fraction of what was going on, and definitely on the left side of the political spectrum, there are powerful financial interests as well, and the labor unions bring at least $400 million in resources to the table, and there's a similar network, while not as robust of one on the left, called Democracy Alliance, that funnels money to a lot of groups, progressive groups and super PACs.
I know that the IRS is proposing new rules in some attempt to circumvent what happened last year. What specifically is the IRS proposing?
What the IRS proposed in November is kind of the first step in what will be a long process to regulate nonprofit groups. I mean, there really haven't been any regulations for half a century on what nonprofits can do in this realm. So what they're trying to do is define what is actually campaign-related activity for nonprofit groups. And that's a pretty thorny question because it's all a little bit in the eye of the beholder. The FEC has its own definition of what political activity is, and the IRS is trying to come up with its own, which has led to a lot of pushback from both the left and the right. They've included things like nonpartisan voter registration as something that would count as political activity, and that's something that's gotten a lot of complaints. So I think it'll be a lot of back and forth before we see any regulation.
Mattea, thanks so much for taking time to talk about this article with me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Mattea Gold covers money and politics for The Washington Post, and you are listening to The Record here on KUOW.